Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive your word tonight, and we ask that you, O God, would teach us, guide us into all truth, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please have your seat. Glory to God. So tonight I'll just pick up from where we stopped last week. We will share, then we will receive the communion. So upper week I started with the fruit of the Spirit, love, and I built into joy last week. Are we here together? So we're somewhere around joy. I'll just say a few things around joy, then I'll move into peace. It's our year of the Spirit, and I thought it would be right to share with us the fruits of the Spirit before the year eventually comes to a close. Amen. So on Sunday, talking about depression and all that, we also said that the antidote for depression is joy. Are we here together? Joy. And I told you that the oil that powers your soul is what? The oil of joy. Are we here together? The oil of joy, the oil of gladness, the oil of joy. That's what powers your soul. So as your body cannot live without blood, your soul cannot have life without joy. Your body is sustained by your physical blood. Your soul is sustained by joy. When joy dries up, everything dries up. Are we here together? As soon as joy dries up, everything dries up. Let me show you something. Let me show us something tonight about joy. Somewhere in Habakkuk, again, I didn't plan this, but Habakkuk chapter, okay, let's look at Habakkuk chapter 3 from verse 17, then we'll look at Joel chapter 1 also, we'll just read it. Habakkuk 3 from verse 17, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, or the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stall. That means even when things are not going the way they're supposed to go. Go ahead now. It says, yet I will do what? Rejoice in the Lord. And I will do what? I will joy in the God of my what? Salvation. Can you see that? So regardless of the fact that everything is not working, it says, the Lord God is my what? Strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. Are we here together now? Yes. And if you look at it now, that stuff you just read is a song. Can you see it? What you just read now is a song. And usually they will play it with string instruments. That's why you see that now. So it's like one of the songs that the psalmist in the Bible, one of the psalmists in the Bible wrote. And he's saying, even though the fig tree does not blossom, even if the olive does not produce, that means it's like my tree, my plant is not yielding. And everything doesn't seem to work the way I expect it to. He said, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. As long as there is joy, the fig tree begins to blossom. As long as there is joy, then the olive begins to produce. But when there is no joy, everything dries up. Are we here together, church? So you must understand, because part of what I want to show us a little bit around joy in the next 10 minutes, then I'll move into peace, is how the Holy Spirit helps us with joy. Joel chapter 1, verse 11 to 16. Joel chapter 1, 11 to 16. Joel chapter 1, 11 to 16. It says, be ashamed, you farmers, wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has what? Perished. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree has withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, all the trees of the field are withered. How? He says, surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Why did everything happen like that? He said, because joy has withered away from the sons of men. As soon as your joy dries up, everything in your life begins to dry. Look at it there. It says, the vine has dried up, the fig tree has withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. He said, let's check, what is the reason? He says, surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. As soon as joy withers, Satan takes advantage of you. As soon as joy withers, you lose everything. Go ahead. He says, greet yourself and lament, you priests, wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my people. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your Lord. We're going to 17. Go ahead. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before your eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of your God? Can you see that now? So the fruit is cut off. What happened? How did it happen? He said, joy and gladness has been cut off from the house of your God. And that's the result of every other dryness that people experience. So when you see people experiencing dryness, it's as a result of the fact that joy has been cut off. And I pray for us today that God will strengthen our hearts. The devil will not steal your joy. Many of the times when the devil tries many things around you, it's just your joy he's trying to get. You didn't get the job and you want to get your joy. You're expecting something and it has not come. The devil just wants to get your joy. But in the midst of everything, if you learn to rejoice, somewhere along the line, you confuse Satan. You draw the attention of heaven, and with joy, you begin to draw from the well of salvation. You don't have access to the well of salvation if you lose your joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And that's why God wants us to rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Always. That means in all situations. The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. For the trying of your faith, worketh what? Patience. Count it all joy. Now, it sounds like God, why are you asking us to count it all joy? In the midst of our pain and everything, God says, that's how I turn around your pain. That's how I turn everything to joy. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? Yes. So you must understand that God is the source of your joy. And you know, whenever God wants to open up your heart and produce joy in you, what he does is that he takes away your joy from the things that you used to derive joy from, and he will place your source of joy on him. So it is not your business expansion that should be your source of joy. It is not the fact that you have gotten a good job that should be your source of joy. It's not the fact that you have all those things bring happiness. Hello? They make you happy. But joy has to be something that, regardless of whatever it is, the joy comes from inside. It is not as a result of what just happened, whether I passed an exam or not, whether I got a job or not, whether I was able to, you know, my wife or husband treated me fine or not. My joy is not dependent on that. My joy is dependent on the fact that my hope and my trust is in God. When I look at the fact that I have eternal life, when I look at the fact that he has saved me from the damnation and the destruction coming upon the world, my joy is not dependent on what I have or what I don't have. It is dependent on what I have in Christ, which is what? Eternal life. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Because if you place your joy on people, they'll disappoint you. Place your joy on expectation of getting something on earth, And some things will just not happen the way you have planned them. But you learn to rejoice in the Lord always. Can you see that now? Always. It says again, I say rejoice. Before you got born again, you used to find pleasure. You used to find joy in pleasure. Probably find joy in success. You find joy in approval. You find joy in, you know, hanging out with your friends. You find joy in many other things. But after you get born again, your joy is in who? God. Are we here together, church? Yes. In his presence, there is fullness of what? Joy. I heard people say things like, oh, whenever I just come into church, one of the places I get my joy is just coming to PTCC and just sitting down, I get joy. I say, yeah, that's good, because the presence of God, where else do you want to get joy? That's where you should get joy. Because sometimes everything and every other thing else just seem to piss you off, turn you off. But when you find joy in the house of God, David said, I am glad when they said, let us go into the house of God. The Bible says in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there is what? Pleasure forevermore. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Let me add what I said I was going to teach last week. I didn't touch. Five robbers of joy. The things that rob your joy. Number one, unconfessed sin. Sin and guilt will block the flow of joy. Whenever the devil wants to trap people with guilt and condemnation, he traps them down so that as soon as they fail to confess, acknowledge their sin, you get trapped. The Bible says that you should confess your faults. If you have done something wrong, confess it. The devil knows that if he can hold you with guilt and condemnation, you will lose your joy. And if you lose your joy, you'll not be able to serve God effectively. Everything will not make sense again. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? So unconfessed sin can be part of the things that will shut down joy. In Psalm 51 verse 12, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. The joy of your salvation. Look at it now. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. So there is a joy of God's salvation. That's the joy you received the day you got born again. How many of us understand what I'm saying here? Or the first season of your encounter with Jesus, that overwhelming joy, it's not supposed to cease. For many of us, the joy we had then, we still have it today. We're having more reasons to serve God. But for some people, when the oil of joy dries up, they go back to their old life. Why? Because what fuels our journey in the faith is the joy that we have. I sang a song last week and I interpreted the song. Is that not? Yes. The young man who's going on a pilgrimage and remembers that the joy that I have going on this pilgrimage, despite the fact I know that things are not going to be easy, is because of the hope of the saints. There's a hope that you already have, the hope of eternal life. That's what brings joy. Why do you have a lot of people, you know, that died as martyrs? They died because of what they believed. They died for their faith. The joy, and you know, they're bringing guns before them, trying to shoot them and all that, and they're saying, kill me, it doesn't matter. Why? I have found something greater. I don't mind. When people lack the joy of salvation, it is difficult, it is always very easy to give up on God. Are we here together? Number two, unrestrained tongue can make you lose your joy. Have you realized that when you start gossiping and murmuring, you now realize that the person you gossip or the person that you murmured, whatever it is that you did, it's not right. You lose your joy. Are we here together? You lose your joy. Gossip, murmuring, you know, backbiting. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, you stop. The flow of joy will cease from the life of that person. If you don't want joy to cease from your life, don't gossip. Avoid murmuring and backbiting. The children of Israel murmured, and when they murmured, God got very pissed off at them because it will grieve the Holy Spirit. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? It will grieve the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved because he's a person, it means that he cannot supply you the flow because he is the Spirit that gives joy. He gives joy. So as soon as you start gossiping, you're murmuring, you know, you backbite, you just cover that you are dry on the inside. Should I share more with us? Another thing that makes your joy dry is undeveloped or neglected spiritual life. Yes. When you realize you got born again and all that, or you've been serving God, then you dump your spiritual life, you're no longer serious, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray and everything, all of a sudden joy begins to dry up. Because reading your Bible every day, praying and having fellowship with God, that intimacy helps to bring what? Joy. When a husband and wife are having a good time in their family and they are intimate, they know they share things together, communication, there is joy. As soon as they pull away from one another, you just realize that everything seems to what? Dry up. That's exactly the same thing. Our relationship with God is fueled by joy that comes. As soon as you start drawing back, you start feeling like joy is drying up. It's no longer there. What exactly is happening to me right now? I don't just understand. If you just get that revival meeting or you come for service and have a good time in God's presence, all of a sudden, joy is restored. Then the desire to read your Bible comes again. The desire to pray comes again. The desire to do one thing or the other comes again. Why? Because joy has been restored when fellowship is restored. If two people are quarreling, would they be rejoicing? But when they settle, what happens? There is joy. So these are the things that dry the joy of the believer up. Yes, another thing that can drain and dry your joy is anxiety. Anxiety drains your joy because you're not certain about tomorrow. You are afraid. You are scared. You are asking yourself questions. How will I pay my bills? How will I do this? How will I do that? Oh God, when will this one come? When will that one not come? And all of a sudden you are overwhelmed with all the cares of this life. The Bible says that the seed that was planted, when it was choked, because of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, the cares of this life can burden you so much you lose your joy. And that's why, you know, we always sing songs that because he leaves, I can face tomorrow. It doesn't matter what the devil is saying. I know God holds my future. And that's why if you want to experience true joy, you must take your heart off human beings. You must take your heart off the cares of tomorrow and the future and put everything on who? On God. How many have I shared with you? And the last one that can really steal your joy and most likely lead to a season of depression is unnecessary comparison. I've been emphasizing this, and I'm emphasizing it because by the time you start comparing yourself with other people, you will see somebody who's better than you. There's always somebody better, is that not? There's always somebody ahead. There's always somebody, you know, always, always. The only problem is that you always see somebody better. You always see somebody ahead. You don't see somebody that you are ahead of. You don't see somebody that you are better than. And that's what the devil does. He will only show you the side of your disadvantage. He won't show you the area of your advantage. And that's why you must tell yourself, I don't listen to Satan. Every time, say, look at your mates. Amongst all your mates, there are some that are ahead, there are some that are behind. You didn't look at the ones behind and say, God, thank you that I am here at least. You looked at the ones ahead and said, God, why am I here? I'm frustrated, I'm tired, I don't know why I'm here. And God is saying, come on. You see, you don't have to compare yourself. Our journey differs. I'll share something with my wife, you know, I think was, we're having prayer or something overnight, and I was just sharing with her that sometimes one of the problems we have is that we fail to recognize the fact that she wasn't around on Sunday service. They went out with children's church leaders and all that. So I was sharing with her something. I said that when we start comparing ourselves, we fail to realize that we all did not start at the same level. If you are starting your life without sufficient knowledge, chances are that you will struggle a whole lot compared to somebody that had sufficient knowledge starting. Are we here together? If you were given 5 million naira to start a business and somebody is given 50 million naira to start a business, we cannot judge the person's success because the person made 50 million naira profits times 2. That is 100 million. Then you made also 50 million naira, 5 million naira profits times 2 and you have 10 million. Then you are angry. Why would you be angry? It is the profit capital that you have that determines your what? Your profit. That person's capital is different. Somebody starts and he went to one outstanding university. And just there, the parents already had a job for the person and he cannot even start like an entry-level person. And the person has to start his first job and they say he's going to pay him like maybe 2.5 million naira per annum, per month rather. And here you are, you just got an entry-level job and they're offering you, oh, let's give you 150,000 or 200. And I'm like, Eh? Look at other people. Look at what they're getting. Did you start from where other people started? Did your father lay the foundation other people's father laid? So you laid foundation for somebody and leave other people. That's what you do. Instead of comparing yourself and killing yourself and crying and shouting and all that. Do you know that I just sat down and I was thinking of it? We are in this part of the world. There are people who are in countries where no matter how good the things they do it. Nobody will ever know. The searchlight of the world is not on them. No, there are countries that are highlighted. How many times do you hear something? In Nigeria now, if something is happening in the US, we'll hear. If it's happening in Canada, it's possible to hear. If it's happening in UK, it's possible to hear. If they say something is happening inside Chile, how many people hear that? Or something is happening in Botswana. Or something is happening in Tanzania. You see, so even if there's a very successful person in Tanzania, we don't know. So people can be successful where they are, but their location tend to put a disadvantage. Doesn't mean that they will start crying where they are and say we are failing. They are not failing, they are succeeding too. So you must tell yourself the truth as long as you are not lazy, as long as you are not, you know, that kind of person that is not willing to do anything. If you are pressing and you are making progress, rejoice while you keep pressing for more knowledge so that your joy will not dry up by comparing yourself with other people. I guarantee you, somebody can start today, and the reason why the person's marriage is working is because the person grew up in a home where he saw marriage working. I grew up in a home where I saw marriage working. If my marriage fails, I'm a very foolish person. Somebody else grew up in a home where they didn't even know what marriage was and they are failing and the person wants to die. No. You should say, God, I've never been through this before. Learn from those who have it. Learn from those who are. I'm rejoiced that I'm even able to learn something and get better because we are not starting all at the same level. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? I'm going to start ministry. And when I'm going to start ministry, I don't have drum set. I don't have keyboard. I couldn't get hall. Then I use a canopy that can seat 25 or 30 people. And I start my ministry like that. And maybe 7 years down the line, everything just looks like it's managing. And I have maybe like 300 or 200 members. Then somebody else, the first time is going to start the ministry in an event center. You know, the person all of you realize that by the time they were launching the ministry, they had like 100 members, you know. And before you know it, in 3 years, they say they have already 1,500 or 2,000 members. Then I want to kill myself. Brothers and sisters, we did all start at the same level. Always know it in life. And that's why when you see people going ahead, don't kill yourself. But make sure you are not lazy. Make sure you are not lagging behind. Make sure you are pressing as much as you are. You are not in competition with another person. Your competition is with God's purpose for your life. Are you matching with what God has said concerning you? Because these are the things that steal the joy of people. And you just feel like, oh, life is not working. I'm tired. I'm going to give up. And you know, when people succeed and they make it, all of a sudden they become coach. Yeah. Someone that's been struggling all his life, just made one thing, just boom, and he made it. And he say, 5 tips on how to make it. Congratulations. Then you are dying. Don't worry. All your mistakes and all the errors, you see that one day you also will become a coach. In fact, can I tell you the truth? You are a coach where you are. You have not just seen that there are people waiting to learn from you. Rejoice and move on and say, I will make it. I will press on. I know that this cannot be the best of my life. The most important thing I always tell myself, this can never be the best of my life. There is more. There is more. So that you don't get stuck in the trap of vain comparison. And all of a sudden, instead of moving, the success of other people becomes the hindrance to your own rising. You know why? Just imagine that we're looking. Oh my God. Do you know that the success of one generation can be the undoing of another generation? Imagine that we see a generation ahead. Okay, look at young people whose parents are very successful and rich. Then the father is very, very rich, and the father has made all the whole world's millions. And this guy just starts, and the father brings him forward. And then he's thinking for himself that, when will I ever become as rich as my father? That can lead to frustration. Seeing the empire of the father and everything, and seeing how big the father... Man... When will somebody ever get that frustration and look at least just say, oh, I can't keep myself. Let me just continue and just remain small. Whereas the success of somebody ahead tells you that there is allowance to do better. Because you can leverage on their experience, their knowledge, their exposure, their biography, and press forward. Don't ever settle. Learn to do what? Press. I don't want to stay much on this. There's so much to say on joy. Let me move. Are we here together? So one of the ways that you cultivate joy is to practice gratitude. Practice giving thanks. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given. Jesus Christ, the Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given. Jesus Christ, the Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what Lord has done for us. Give thanks. You must learn to practice gratitude. Do you know that when you are grateful to God, He will increase whatever it is that you have? When you're able to say, thank you, Lord, I am grateful that I am alive. Only the living can praise God. It is the Holy Spirit that steers your heart from the inside. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Because it's not dependent on what I don't have. I'm looking at what God has given me already. Are we getting what I'm saying now? You say, God, I am grateful that I am alive. That I can still do something. That I can still make moves. That I am alive means that there is still hope. Because the Bible says that as long as there is life, there is hope for the living. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is hope for the living. So you must learn to allow the Holy Spirit to steer your heart, you know. Another way the Holy Spirit helps you is to help you guard your heart against the things that will pollute your heart, then bring the defilement that leads to sadness and sorrow. There are a lot of things that can pollute your heart. So you guard your heart with all diligence and not allow those things come in. Because as soon as those things come in, it will pollute your heart. And when your heart is polluted, you begin to sink. I shared with us on Sunday that if the water is underneath the boat, it keeps it afloat. If it enters into the boat, it will make it sink. Let the problem be under. Don't let it enter in. If it enters in, you will sink. Are we here together, church? Am I communicating? Yes. So the Holy Spirit doesn't remove all our sorrows. Sorrows? No. No. But He gives you a song in the midst of your pain. That's what He does. He gives you assurance that in the midst of it all, He will guide you through. So that you're going through one thing or the other, and you're like, God, can't you see? God, can't you see? And God is saying, I can see. I will give you peace in the midst of the storm. He didn't say, I will take away the storm. I will give you peace in the midst of the storm. You will go through the fire. He didn't say, there will be no fire. No. He said, you will go through the fire, but I will not let it get you burnt. Wow. Seriously? So come on. Get ready to go to some fire, man. Some fiery experience. I remember late Reverend Dr. Omar, he said, what is life without troubles? What is life without troubles? What is life without troubles? Anytime he says that thing, I just be like, man, brother, you can enjoy your trouble, sir. Daddy, please enjoy your trouble. But whether we like it or not, we all go through one trial and troubles. Bless ye the Lord. Through my trials and all my struggles, I have come with a heart of worship. For the gift of your Son and the grace to fight my battles, I have come with a heart of worship. There'll be trials, there'll be troubles, but I have come with a heart of worship that despite all this, I will not lose my joy. I will not lose my joy. You finish, you move from the face of when I was in primary school, I used to get troubled a lot. Anytime I go to school, I cry a lot. I'm one of those children that, like, you are in trouble. If you're taking me to school, you'll be embarrassed in the whole community. Because the guy you are taking to school will be shouting and crying. People will think you are very wicked. And I'll shout very well. I'll jump. I'll kick my leg. I'll fall down. I'll roll. Maybe if my clothes is dirty, they will take me there. Then I got to secondary school. I started telling myself, when will school finish? This thing, does it not finish? Why is it like this? What are we doing here? Just come and you stay here from morning till night. And these people are just talking plenty of things. I don't understand. Sometimes I ask myself, what will this thing lead us to? It was like the sorrow of my life. The only time I went to school without being bothered about anything was higher institution. Because I had known better. Are we here together? But you see, my secondary and primary, I didn't like all these things people do. See, they are in class, somebody stands in front and is just putting the chalk all through the board. And they're asking questions. Especially when you choose a course you don't like, you're finished. Yes. Yes. Chemistry. In Nigeria, chemistry. You say you did chemistry. You don't know chemistry. What did you see? How many chemicals? A school that has only water in the laboratory. And hydrogen chloride, HCl. That's the only thing they have. They will now start showing you H2O plus 2 plus sodium plus chloride. Where is sodium? Where is chloride? It's enough to give frustration. But I just told myself, Jesus, one day this thing will end. These two will come to pass. Always remind yourself that you will come to do what? Pass. If you are in the midst of something that you are not enjoying, it can try to drain your joy. Are we here together? Yes. Well, you have to put your hope and your trust in Jesus. Joy for people who are, you know, in relationship and in marriage. The early phase of your marriage might not look so joyful because you have to train your children and your partner is complaining. He also has his needs to be met. The children are shouting and they're screaming there. And you're just trying to balance and money's just trying to come in. Those who are not married are shouting and excited. They want to enter where you are trying to run out from. You know, life is just like that. Woo! Every stage has something. But guess what? Count it all joy. Enjoy every face. Just find a way to enjoy every face. Anywhere, you just enjoy it. Anything. Because there's no face that you get to that you say everything is totally cancelled. And as soon as you begin to get to midlife, you are beginning to complain and you're going to say, I think I'm getting older. By the time you're getting to 50s, you say, God, rewind my life. I don't like this. Enjoy every face. Glory to God. Yes. Let me move to peace. Peace. Somebody say peace. I love peace. Are you sure you love peace? Are you sure you really love peace? Wow. So, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace is not the same thing as calmness. It's different from being calm. It might have attached to it the state of being calm, but it is different from being calm. It is not just about being calm. It's not about experiencing calmness everywhere. Peace also has to do with finding the same tranquility in the midst of the storm. Peace is not the absence of storm. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That you have peace doesn't mean that you don't have stormy situations. You know, when you're about to make decisions, you are trying to find peace in your heart. Is that not? The reason you are trying to find peace, you are trying to navigate peace, is because every other path is stormy. So when you get to a path where it's balanced, you say that's what? Peace. It doesn't mean that the storm ceased. It means that you can rest here despite the storm. Are we getting what I'm trying to say here? Yes, you need to understand that. Jesus said, I leave peace with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. And the people that he said he has left peace with, he also told them, he said, you have persecutions. That's why he told them, he left peace with them. He still told them that you have persecutions anyway. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulations. In me you have what? peace, be of good cheer, I have overcome what? The world. But he told us and reminded us that anyway, there will be troubles, but in me you have peace. So peace is not about the fact that everything is calm. It's about the fact that you are in him and you are secure and you trust him enough that regardless of whatever happens, nothing will happen to you. You know what happens when parents carry their little kids or little child and realize that it's a stormy situation, everywhere is messed up, and you just close the face of the child and hold the child. And the child is there, Daddy, what's going to happen? Daddy, what? And your mind, you're like, I can't tell you what will happen, I'm not sure. But just be here. And sometimes the child doesn't say anything and feels so like, wow. Because the child has trust in the Father. So one of the ways to enjoy peace, the Bible says, it will keep in perfect peace those whose heart is stayed on him. Because your peace will be taken when your heart is off him. Your peace will be taken when you're looking for the help and the support somewhere else. Am I communicating, church? Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? The world will offer you peace, and the way they offer peace is through control, comforts. They will tell you this one will give you peace. Marriage will give you peace. How many people did he give peace? He kept some of them in pieces. Every marriage that has peace is in Christ. We find our peace in Christ. They having a lot of money will give you peace. Then they got the money and some of them still kill themselves. So everything that the world says that you will find peace in, there's no peace there. Peace is in Christ. Because in Christ, despite the crisis, you will not see it because you are in him. Am I making sense here? Our peace is not in the things that they promise in the world. It's not in buying good cars. It's not in having whatever it is. All those things will fade. All those things do not last. All those things will just come to... They can even get you frustrated. But when your peace is in God, you find peace in him. Everything begins to balance. And that's why it's the fruit of the Spirit. You have to allow it to grow. You have to... The fruit has to grow. You need to see that a tree has fruit is a sign that it is mature. When a tree matures, it bears fruit. When a tree is not mature, it doesn't bear fruit. Are we getting what I'm saying now? Every child, every girl has the capacity to give birth to children. But a six-year-old cannot give birth to children. Except if the world has changed again. Because I know a lot of things are changing. And I'm surprised too. Yeah. I am surprised. I'll ask God when we get to heaven. I say, why? Is it that everything started changing and people started? Yeah, that's true. The Holy Spirit gives peace through surrender. A deep inner assurance that God is in control, even when I am not. That's peace. A deep inner assurance that God is in control. He's in charge. He's in charge of my future. Therefore, I don't fret. He's in charge of my life. Therefore, I'm not afraid. That's what you call peace. I find peace in him that he's driving. How many of us have been there where somebody is driving and when the person is driving, because you don't trust the person. If you see a driver and they tell you that this driver, he just finished drinking some very serious stuff and the driver is looking like, wow. Then he came from the gutter and he gets into the steering and he says, wally, wally. How many of you enjoy, you know, boarding that vehicle? You like it? Or you just see a pilot just show up, and as soon as the pilot shows up, he says, guys, I'm actually very sleepy. I just took like 3 bottles of whiskey. But anyway, let's move. Why? Why would you stay? He's a pilot. He's trained. The whiskey cannot do anything. The reason why you will not do that, the reason you will not do that is because you cannot trust his sense of judgment and discernment, because something has altered his mind. But there is a God in heaven whose mind cannot be altered, whose sense of judgment cannot be altered. If my life is in his hand, I am sure that he's holding it very well. Paul said, I know him whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed into his hand unto the perfect day. I know him whom I believe. I know him whom I believed. I know him whom I believed. That's peace. There's movement, there's motion. But because of the person in charge, I'm not bothered. That's peace. Is anybody getting what I'm trying to say here? Yes. So the Holy Spirit transforms you from inside by helping you find that trust and confidence in God from your innermost being. You're trusting Him. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall do what? Yes. God will not calm the storms around you sometimes. He will calm the storm within you. You hear what I just said? Many of the times, let me show you, let me explain this so that you get it. When Jesus and His disciples were in the boats, and the Bible says they had a serious tempest. It was heavy. It was massive. Everything was shaking. But don't forget that as everything was happening, Jesus was sleeping. And the Bible says He used stone for His pillow. Whoever used stone for pillow and is still sleeping well? How many of us, you try using stone for your pillow and you slept very well? You know the wooden edge of your bed. If you put your head there, you usually sleep very well. You need something that is very, you know, fluffy and all that. That's what you want for a pillow. But Jesus Christ had something like stone, and He just rested His head on the stone. And the boat was going like this and moving like this. And people were holding everything and they were just jumping like this, up and down. Jesus was sleeping. How can a human being sleep in that, if not the sleep of death? Yes. How can you be sleeping in the midst of that kind of, you know, turmoil, something so serious? You are sleeping. That's why the disciples were troubled that, wait, we don't understand. Like, wait. And you know, Peter talks a lot, sanguine Peter. He just woke up and he said, Philip, you're just shouting. You're not saying anything. Say, what am I going to say? What am I? He's sleeping now. Can't you see him? He's sleeping. If he's sleeping, maybe. He said, no, maybe. Oh. He just went to pull the garment of Jesus. Master, carest not thou that we will perish? You know why? Jesus was sleeping because there was peace within. Even though there was storm without. They were troubled because they had serious loss of their own peace within. It was not what was outside that was the problem. It was inside. Because if what was outside was the problem, Jesus would not be sleeping. He slept because that thing outside makes no sense. The captain and the master of the storm cannot be held in the storm. So he was sleeping because he knows God and he knows himself and he knows what he is. He knows who he is. Who created the storm? Who made the wind? Who created the ocean? Can the ocean swallow its maker? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here now. And if the maker of the ocean and the sea is inside the boat, can the boat sink? If the boat decides to sink, will the maker not become a boat for those with him? It's a level of trust that Peter would have just said, well, if we die, we'll die together. But that you are here, we will not die. You have seen all the signs, the miracles. That means he did not put his trust in Jesus. He was looking outside. And everything on the outside discouraged him. You go for a job interview and you have like 2,000 people come for the interview. And they say they are going to pick 5. Act as if you did not see anybody. Only me entered the interview hall. That is peace within. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? It doesn't mean that things are not happening on the outside. God wants to calm the storm within. If I can succeed to calm the storm within, whatever is on the outside will not matter. But as soon as there is storm within, do you know that when they had the bomb blast in Nigeria, some of us remember that year when they had a serious bomb blast in Nigeria, and many people started jumping into the canal. The place where the bomb was blasting is far. They lost all their peace within. They entered the canal. Those who found their peace were asking, where are you people rushing to? They said, don't run, you don't stay there now. Stay there now. You see what will happen. And before you know, they enter the canal. When you lose peace within, you can do anything. All the drivers that I have seen that succeeded to escape accidents, they didn't lose their peace within. Everything is happening and you can see the truck coming right in front of you and everything. The driver that will escape is not the one that says, the one that will escape, all of a sudden, will look like he has a defense shield. And he's looking like a lion and that night. Something will happen here. Is it that he's thinking of swapping or moving or something or jumping out? But is it that one that's shouting? That's how women do when they see cockroach. Somebody saw cockroach. I'm passing out. Where are you passing out? Cockroach. Then when they start singing song in church, you say, I got the peace and chaos. I'm not moved by what they say. You are moved by cockroach and rats. I put my faith in Jesus. Jesus will say, where? Peace has to do with the the tranquility of your soul. When you tell yourself that from within, I'm not bothered. Whatever is happening on the outside is happening. But I trust him. And I know that he will not leave me. He will not forsake me. That's peace. Are you getting what I'm saying here? That's peace. That's what happens when you're talking about finding peace. When other people are saying it is not possible. You say, I don't know what you guys are saying. But see, I just find peace in my heart. Have you been there before? Everybody saying that. See, I just find peace in my heart. I just find peace in my heart. If you marry this person, it will kill you. Say, can you find peace? I'm not saying you find that kind of peace. Gauge your peace very well. Determine your gauge. But you know, sometimes people can warn you about something and you still know that you have found it. I heard about the story of Gloria Bamloya and Mike Bamloya, that the man was, whether it's the woman that was warned about the man or something, and just knew that, I understand, but I find peace here. This looks like home. You know, when you meet a man that is home or a woman that is home, you'll be at home. May God give you home. Home. Where you can make homelets. Glory to God. No. You need to understand this, because many people don't understand it. And that's why they're struggling so hard. Peace flows from reconciling with God. There are three dimensions of peace. The first one is peace with God. The second one is peace with yourself. Then the third one is peace with other people. This peace with God, it starts with, you know, reconciling with God. When you are reconciled to God, there is this peace. I love the Bible. The Bible says that he has reconciled us. Jesus has reconciled us to God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. It says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Because we have been justified. I'm not afraid that I'm going to go to hell. So you see some people now, when the trailer passes and it does, before, me too, I used to be afraid. Not because I had not made peace, but because I had a wrong understanding of his perfect love. Now I understand that perfect love casts away fear, and that the relationship I have with him is not one that can be shaken. I have peace. So when I hear the trailer, I say, come Lord Jesus, Maranatha, we are waiting. We are waiting, that's why we are here. I have peace. I have peace because I have a relationship. I have peace because I have a relationship. That's why those who do not have a relationship with Jesus cannot have peace. No matter whatever they call peace, it will end up in destruction. You know why? The real lasting peace is the peace that comes with the knowledge that you have eternal life. Hey, hellfire is not 1 billion years. I don't know where I was seeing something today, and the man was saying that after 1 trillion years, you will just realize that you are not close to the end of staying in hell. You have just started. Hell. See, look at the kind of name. When they call something that kind of name, because it's a serious situation. Is that what they call it? Kai. Hell. 1 billion years after, you just realize that the pain has just started. You know what billion is? 10 trillion years after the pain, you just started. Angels have been with God for donkey years that we do not know. That world is still existing. The world that you know is earth. You see that place? In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He didn't tell us how long they've been living together. And they've been there. And when this world ends, they will still be there. That is how eternity is. You know why? They live in eternity. And that's why they say somebody perishes. Perishing is eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. And when you have Christ, you have eternal life. You don't understand? Eternal life. That means 1 billion years after, we are just starting our joy in heaven. We are just enjoying ourselves. It's going to be such a life that, you know, we won't grow old. I hope you are aware. That's the thing. So it's sin that brought decadence and aging. In heaven, they don't age. They don't age. Have I said it 1 billion times here? That they don't age. The things in heaven are ancient. They are not old. You need to know the difference between ancient and old. There are cars that the older they are, the more expensive they become. There are wines that the older the wine, the more expensive it is. But there's another one like Zobo after 2 days. I'm sorry for you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? I'm saying it because some people think that hellfire is fun. They say, let them do it. Let them not enjoy themselves here. But God is merciful. Something will happen one day. God will see our cry. Eh? Which cry? Have you not seen what the Bible says? He said the angels that did not maintain their first position, he has held them bound in eternal chains. And that hell is meant for them. And he said, and all those that do abominable things in Revelation, that's where they'll go. Me, I have peace because I have Jesus. My hope is built on nothing else than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All the ground is
sinking sand.
I have peace. I have peace. Kai, I have peace. It doesn't matter whatever happens on the face of the earth. I have peace. Peace. The inner tranquility of your soul and calmness that is based on your trust and confidence in God. That's peace. Are we here together? Yes. The Holy Spirit cultivates peace from within. You learn to pause before reacting. So you see, when they say somebody is a peacemaker, they learn how to do what? Pause. Okay, I talked about the peace with God. Let me talk about peace with yourself before I go to the other one. Peace with yourself. The reason why we have what you call anxiety and worry is a sign of inner battle. You don't have peace with yourself. When somebody says, I am worried, that means they are saying there is a battle on my inside. When somebody is anxious, that means there is a battle on the inside. It's a sign that they do not have what? Peace. And God wants you to have peace with yourself. If you don't have peace with yourself, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to help you cultivate peace with yourself by calming the storm, there are many things you will never enjoy on earth. Anxiety, worry, you will never get anything from God with that. The Bible says be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and cannot receive anything from God. That's why people don't receive things from God. They are full of anxiety. They are worried. Everything is like, hey, you know there are some people like that. They live on natural worry mode. Hey, ooh, have you heard? Sometimes you just feel like telling them, shh. They say, ah, no. Hey, you are just there like that. You don't know what will happen. Eh? It will happen. It will affect all of us. It's you that will affect, not all of us. But the person who has peace is saying, well, I don't understand what's happening. He said, can't you see? Can't you feel it? You're just being calm. I say, it's as if you have an insider that will help you sort it. The insider is here. He lives inside. Are you getting what I'm saying? From inside, he begins to tell you, son, calm down. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's where you call peace. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you have peace within yourself. Even when they are giving you a bad news, have peace on the inside. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? You know why? Always know it. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for us. He will be our guide. Hold us closely to his side.
with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way.
When you have that assurance and you're confident, inside there will be no tumult. You're just there. You're there. And they say, you're not acting like my action is not dependent on what that person said. I take command from the inside because Jesus commands my destiny. If he says be calm and somebody says shout, I wouldn't make any noise because my commander is on the inside. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? And one of the ways you can enjoy this is to learn to listen from your inside, not from what's happening outside. Many of us listen to things happening outside. You don't listen to what is happening inside. Somebody's telling you that, hey, see what will happen to you. And you are saying, hey, I'm afraid. Listen to the one who's speaking on the inside. There is a voice, that inner voice of the Spirit. Whatever that voice says, that's the final answer. You know one thing I learned in my life? Not a single day did I see Jesus in the Bible. Oh God, make us more like you, Jesus. Not a single day did I see Jesus that he called him for something and Jesus picked his clothes and he started running to Lazarus' house. Lazarus, Lazarus, oh my soul, Lazarus. Lazarus, your friend is dead. He said, no problem. We'll wake him up. I don't understand. Your friend, you know your friend is dead. The first thing would have been, what? What happened to him? How? Let's go now, let's go now. Jesus waited day one, day two, day three. Then he now told, no, it's not like he had a PA that reminded him. He now said, let's go and wake Lazarus up. Let me show you. Can you go back? Okay, here. It says, okay, then the days, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been, no, go back now. You are, okay, yes. Is this where? Should he be down? He has to go back, is that not? Is it the same chapter? The same chapter, go back, let's see. No, not here. This one will start telling us about the encounter, everything has happened. Go back. I think 11, somebody, Bible scholars, check. I didn't plan to read it. That story just came to my spirit. Well, while they are trying to bring it up for us, you know, Jesus, they came to tell him that. And you know those days, they don't have phones. So the person that came to tell Jesus traveled the number of days that it would take Jesus to get there. You understand? So whichever way they passed the story, they told him that the person got there that day. Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dead. If it's a one-day journey, we are supposed to be running for that day and we'll get there at the end of the day. Because that's it. And Jesus said to them plainly, no, go back. You need to go back again. Take your time. Know where it is. So when they passed the news to Jesus that Lazarus, his friend, was there, Jesus Christ did not panic. Jesus did not shout. Jesus did not say, hey, Motibeo, how can my friend die? What is this? Hey, what kind of life is this? No way. He was calm. The day he was going there, he just said, let's go and wake Lazarus up. They said, The disciples had already said, he had to tell them that he is dead because he had to use the language of men. In other words, the realm where Jesus Christ lived, death does not occur there. Hello? The realm where Jesus lived, death doesn't occur there. So he doesn't like to say death because it's difficult for life to say death. But for the sake of their humanity, life called death what it is in the parlance of men. Because in where Jesus comes from, there is no death. Why? He told them, say, I am the resurrection, I am the life. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here. I am the resurrection, I am what? The life. In other words, life does not see anything as dead. Why? He called the things that be not as though they were. So that even if it was dead, do you know that our great, 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 great grandfather, 2,000 years plus now, all those that died in Christ, is only one trumpet he will call all of them. He will not blow it two times and say, hey, Peter, James, John, Simon, Philip, all of you, rise from the dead. No. One voice. When the trumpet of God sounds,
all the dead in Christ, even if they're in the ocean, even if they died and they were buried in acid, even if they died and they burnt their body and they gathered the ashes, and the ashes have been lost for 2,000 years into the waters, all the ashes will gather from wherever they are and form life because the author of life called them. You need to understand what resurrection is. Everything, whatever, wherever they are, a new body will show up. He lost his body, he will give it body. When Jesus came before the tomb of Lazarus, guess what he did? Lazarus, if he had said dead, come forth, all the dead people will rise up. All of them. You will just wake up and see walking mummies, Egyptian mummies. Have you seen those movies? Everybody will just start walking like this. Everybody will just walk like this. But it had to be specific, it had to be clear, no ambiguity. He said, Lazarus, come forth. 4 days old. Go and check a 4 days old dead body. Maggot has started coming. The maggot did what we call in chemistry, it is chemical reaction, a reverse reaction. Decadence just went back and said decay 3, decay 2, decay 1 to normal, to life. Then he came out. And he said, lose him and let him go. That's the God we serve. Tell your neighbor, have peace. Yes. That's the God we're serving. That's the God we're serving. The more you get to know him, the better your depth of understanding, then you are not afraid of anything. Paul was telling them, he said, why are you mourning when people die? They are mourning. He said, well, don't mourn like other people. Let your mourning be different. Because you will soon see these people at the resurrection. All of you whose mothers died in Christ, you will see them. Father in Christ, you see. Brother in Christ, you see them. Anyone that did not die in Christ is the one we are not sure of. But anybody that died in Christ, you will see them. They will come out. You will know them. They will know you. You think you will not know ourselves? If I enter heaven, I won't know you. I know you now. You will not be putting on the same body. Our knowledge is not in the... Do you know that our spirit knows itself? Your spirit knows my spirit. My spirit knows your spirit. That's why spirits know themselves in the spirit. Deep calleth unto deep. So when we put off this body and we see ourselves there, I will automatically know Moses. He does not need to introduce himself. When I see him, I will know with the spiritual knowing because it's a fresh understanding. All the people cannot be introducing themselves to you in heaven one by one and say, I am Moses, I am John, I am Philip, I am No. The Bible makes it very clear. When we get there, we will all know ourselves. That will tell you that we all came from one source. We know ourselves. Come and show me that Mavis guy. No. Apostle Peter will just come and meet me and say, Mavis, how are you? I say, wow, I'm good. How are you, sir? He said, don't call me, sir. I say, why, sir? He said, we are all spirits. There are no sir here. There are no ma. I say, I can't call you Peter. Mama blow. I will act a lot of movies. So if I get to, I will just go and hold. I'll go and hold Jesus, the hem of his garment. When I will say, why are you doing that? I will say, I'm looking whether the issue of blood will dry. So you're not serious. He said, all your miracles surprised me. I'm always amazed at your wonders. Glory to God. You see, if Christianity is not fun, there's something you are missing. Tell him. There's something you need to know him and enjoy him. They are the thoughts and the meditations that we relish on, and we just smile again and say, regardless of whatever we're going through, we will wait because we are eternal beings. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Yes. So find peace within yourself. Cultivate that inner peace. The last one is peace with other people. This is where a lot of believers struggle. Many people have serious... Unbelievers don't have peace with themselves. So that first one is unbelievers. But when they come to Christ, how do they even get that peace? There is a conviction. Who convicts? The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. So that unbeliever is the Holy Spirit that will convict that person of sin. Are we here together now? Then when you get born again and the Holy Spirit begins to treat your heart and you place your trust in him, then you begin to find inner peace, inner joy. And they say it did not work. Everybody in the family does not work. Then you say, my own will work. They say, how? Why? You say, I have made peace with him and I have made peace within myself. By his spirit, my own will work. It is based on knowledge of what I have known. That whatsoever is in Christ is a new creation. That all things have passed away, all things have become new. My own life will walk. Then you now move to the next one where people struggle. Peace with their neighbors. Peace with their friends. Many of us always react instead of learning how to respond. And the Holy Spirit always wants to teach us how to respond and not react. And that's why we have crisis day to day with people. We always think of revenge. When somebody hurts you or does something, you're thinking of how you will revenge, how you act back, how you blow the person, how you attack. And God is saying, peace does not revenge. Peace does not react. Peace will always put it and hand it over to God and say, let God be the final arbiter. Let God be the judge of everything that has happened. And one of the ways you practice peace is to avoid unnecessary arguments. Somebody say arguments. Practice the act of not arguing rubbish. Practice the act of not arguing nonsense. That's where, and when you know when people engage in a heated argument, all of a sudden Satan, the spirit of confusion, will just show up there. And the next thing you say, hit him, hit him, hit him. Shout out. Then you have something in your mind you want to say. Then the Holy Spirit says, don't say that word is going to be so hurting. And Satan says, say it. How would they have treated you like that and you not say it? Why will you not say it? Then all of a sudden you're having, you lose peace inside. Then the question will not say, say it, don't say it, say it, don't say it, say it, don't say it, say it, don't say it. Whoever wins the battle, whoever wins. And many of the times we always give the trophy to Satan. When Satan takes the trophy, the next thing you see, you start telling the person, see, because I've been looking at you since you day mad, you have said it. Satan will say, correct. Have you had a satanic hype man hype you before? Until they slapped you and you fell. Satan has not hyped you before. When we're secondary school, Satan used to hype us. We draw line. Say, bammy, to back, bammy, my guy. That dear lady, mommy, lele. Oh, my brothers. If Satan hypes you, you are finished. Satan will now remind you of your past. Say, you know who you be. They don't forget. You be a yeah. Give her one. Give her one. Your hand will say, then you start saying that. This hand there. If I give you this one there, Satan will say, why you there wait? And before you know it, boom. And sometimes the person goes dead. That's a stupid idiot. Satan, as soon as the person goes dead, pow, your eye open. Satan will say, murderer. Tell your neighbor, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Husband and wife are seated in the house. Just small thing. Small like this. Small like this. Small. Ten tenet. Ten tenet. Soon killy. And Satan will say, is that all? Did your husband just say, did you hear the way your husband said? What did your husband say? The wife said rather. Very simple. Honey, I'm really busy right now. I don't know if you can help wash the plate. And Satan will say, you don't be houseborn. See your life. Then you know how the man goes reluctant and like, come, what exactly are you really doing? You're having satanic negotiations. Then your wife don't say, I'm really doing this and I'm say, but did you see the tone with which you said that thing? I really didn't say that. I didn't mean it that way. I don't understand. Is it because I always do some things for you in this house? So you think I'm now your houseboy? Satan only hype the guy. And by the time Satan begins to hype him like that, he begins to say all manner of things. 2 weeks ago, you did this thing. 4 days ago, you did this thing. And I'm going to show you in this house. I will show you. They sit before counselors, and the counselor says, what caused the problem? I'm trying to. They can't even remember. Why? Because the master of crisis, he always makes a serious thing out of nothing. Your neighbor just dried their clothes like this. And when they dried their clothes, breeze blew and your clothes fell on the floor. Then Satan will just tell you, see your clothes. Now your neighbor put them for ground. As you know, get money by wire. Then you go to your neighbor's door and you knock. I say, neighbor, I saw your clothes on the hanger and my own is on the floor. Say, I'm not aware of that. I'm just seeing that maybe it was a breeze. Even if it was breeze, why can't you pick it for me? All these wicked neighbors in this house. And neighbor is like, waiting. Then Satan can hype your neighbor too. Say, you know, get sincere, then they talk to you. Especially if it's your neighbor's husband, and the wife is inside. Then Satan will hype the wife from inside. She will now show up. Say, madam. He say, honey, go inside. Hey, commando. I will handle this thing. Don't worry.
Satan is a hype man.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here?
Be sober, be vigilant, for the devil, your adversary, is going about like a roaring lion, seeking for whom to devour.
There are many good relationships that scattered because of rubbish arguments. Many good business partnerships that scattered because Satan entered the midst. Always be aware and conscious that Satan is not there to help you at all. He does not know how to settle fights. Anything he enters, he destroys it. Is anybody getting my message here today? Anytime you see yourself boiling unnecessarily, Satan is already working. Holy Ghost cannot boil like that inside of you. Holy Ghost cannot. No, there's no way the Holy Ghost will boil like that and say, today I will show my... Holy Ghost does not show himself. He does not show like that. It's only Satan that likes to make a scene out of rubbish. So learn to be at peace with your neighbors. Practice it. When the devil says, see that your hand, see that your hand, you say, no, this hand will heal the sick. It will heal the sick. It will heal the sick. Instead of saying, blow somebody, no, no way. You are talking and the devil tells you how to react and tell the person. You now remember one rubbish reaction that somebody gave when you were just walking. You were not in the midst of the argument. But you know, some things enter subconsciously. Then while you were passing, somebody called the person maybe an idiot. Then you just enter, you just remember the idiot of that person. Then you say, you're an idiot. And Satan will now blow it up. Somebody that does not understand English, you call the person idiot. He said, me? You know what is the meaning of idiot? You know what is, you call my father idiot? And you see people fight and they will die. I've seen people like that. They start blood everywhere. They just realize that Satan pushed them. And sometimes it's not a fight. It will be a long-term quarrel. I won't call you. You won't call me. So you just pick your phone. Then when that kind of thing happens, you, in the night, midnight prayer, as soon as it's 12 o'clock, they will be praying the midnight prayer. You will own it. You will own the midnight prayer, but you can't pray. That one is gone. The morning prayer. He will now tell you, why are you joining morning prayer? Look at you. You have not even settled. And you are joining morning prayer. And before you know it, you are on Instagram. By the time you start scrolling Instagram, morning prayer has expired. Day one will go. Day two will go. And Satan will build a castle. I want to beg everybody here, listen. One of the ways we have peace with people is to learn to listen to the voice of the Spirit, no matter what is happening. Sometimes just calm down and go and pray. Sometimes walk away from that place. One of the things that peace does is that peace and love of the Spirit will teach you self-control. You walk away from that environment. Walk away. For some of us, the way you usually react whenever you are angry is that you just snub everybody. You will not talk to anybody again. You still call it righteousness. It's not righteousness. It is self-righteousness. You are not going to talk to anybody, no matter what they do now, until they come back and beg you. There are some people, they never apologize in anything. Somebody has to be the one always apologizing. No, their marriages and relationships like that. The other person doesn't apologize. Only one person. Only one person knows God. And the person that does not apologize might be the one carrying the microphone on Sunday service. And as he's doing kakakaya, Satan will tell him, kaya, 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 kaya. You want no kaya, kaya, kaya. He will put guilt, condemnation, everything on you. So one of the things you can learn to do is just run away from him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? Don't tell your neighbor, don't take Satan's advice. And the advice of Satan is not difficult to sort. Are we getting what I'm saying now? It is easy to know when Satan is advising a person. Finally, tonight, as I wrap up, there are a lot of things to say anyway, but I'll have to start wrapping up on this note. When temper begins to rise, peace will remind you to take a pause and pray before you speak. Whenever you have rehearsed many things that the devil is trying to tell you, peace will remind you and say, don't say it. The best words, I usually say, are the worst words unsaid. Because many of the times, what usually bruises people is the word you said. What hurts people is the word you said. If you had withheld that word, you would have helped that person to find healing quick. You would have seen the person would not even be hurt and things would have gone well. But Satan will try to fight it. When misunderstanding happens, peace will help you to seek understanding and victory. It is peace that is saying, go and meet your wife, go and meet your husband. It is peace that is saying, call him and tell him you are sorry. And say, why will I tell him I'm sorry? Are we even married? If we marry, that's how I will be doing. Just call and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. How can I be sorry?
Why can you not be sorry? Even Jesus was sorry for our sake, everything we did. Am I communicating here? May God give us a heart like his. In the name of Jesus. And for men, please, when finances, bills, the pressure of life and everything comes, find peace in God. Because many times, many men will lose their stand as soon as they can't find money. That means your peace is in mammon. Your peace is in mammon. If anytime you don't have money, you fight everybody, you transfer aggression, they come and say, leave here now, leave here now. Hello, hello, why are you calling me? No, come in, I'm not myself. When will you be yourself? There are sometimes when people don't have money, they lose their senses. It is a sign that you don't have peace on the inside. Are we getting what I'm saying here? We have to learn to cultivate peace on the inside. Peace will keep you from rushing into decisions when you're under pressure. To guard your heart from emotional chaos. Always learn to understand that if you are in a relationship where you are constantly denied of your peace, take a pause. It might not be God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time. Then you now watch Tom and Jerry. You now say, maybe that's our own destiny. We are cat and rat. Some people even introduce themselves in their life and say, we are cat and rat. We fight a lot. In relationship, you fight a lot. In marriage, you not only fight a lot, you divorce a lot. Learn not to accept that. Be very careful to watch the language when you notice that you have lost your peace and everything begins to go away, go south, withdraw. Today I introduce you to the Prince of Peace, whose blood we are taking tonight. The Bible says he had made a middle wall of partition. He had destroyed the partition. Jews and Gentiles, everyone alike, he has brought us together. It is the peace that Jesus brought that has kept us here. So that if you have any issue with your neighbor, your brothers, your sisters, you must learn to forgive them. My peace I give unto you. That's what he said. Not as the world gives. He said, I give you my own peace. My own peace. I don't know who that person is, but deep down within you, anxiety, worry, fear, everything boiling, God says to tell you, have peace with yourself. Let the Holy Ghost whisper peace on your inside. You find yourself in a situation, you are here tonight and you have not made peace with God. You have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. This is the right time for you to make peace with your source. Make peace. Every river that leaves a source will run dry. Make peace with your source. And if you have been having issues with your neighbors, your colleagues, you're fighting, there's serious trouble right now. You have not even, there are some people, it's possible that there's somebody in this church. You are keeping malice with somebody. You have not been talking to the person. You just pass. Sometimes you say, we are not keeping malice because I just greeted the person. I just greeted and I passed. But you know in your heart that you are not having peace. This is the best time to say, God, help me. Treat my heart. Treat my heart. I let go tonight. Lord, I give you my heart and I give you my soul. I live for you.
I live for you, oh Lord.
Every breath that I take,
every breath that I take, every moment that I'm away.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way in me.
God is speaking to somebody here tonight. You want to make a commitment to Jesus. I'm going to pray with you first before we take the communion. You want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You have not made peace with him. Or you were born again, but you just discovered that you drew back and everything just went south. And since then, you have been running away from Jesus tonight. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart,
Lord Jesus.
Quietly raise your hand if you want to accept Jesus into your heart. I'm going to pray with you right now. Quietly raise your hand wherever you are. I'm praying with you. If you are online, please indicate with an emoji so that we can see you. If you are here physically, can you raise your hand and say, Jesus, I am here. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Can you say it after me? Wherever you are, raise your hand confidently. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. It's peace that you are making. Peacemakers walk forward. Whenever you're about to make peace, they will say, come forward. Let's see both of you. Now you are appearing before your Father, the one who loves you. Appear before him. Say these words after me. Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.